Good afternoon, everyone. Before we get into the word, I do want to thank all of you for giving to our mission pledges, for supporting our missionaries. Please be praying for Mongolia. Mongolia is the land of Genghis Khan. In other words, it's an old nation. It's a nation that has destiny. Please continue to pray for our missionaries. I had just arrived from New Zealand to meet with our pastors and leaders from all across our region there in Oceania. We have three churches in Sydney, one in Melbourne, we have two in Auckland, one in Christchurch. We're planting a church in Fiji, and we're planting another one in Papua New Guinea. It's my joy and my way of really thanking all of you, those of you who partner with missionaries under the MPD program and you give to missions. We just want to take this moment to thank you. As you know, we're journeying through a series entitled Set Apart, and this is a four-part series on the holiness of God. We began last week by talking to you about the holiness of God. Today we're going to talk about in Him, and we're really talking about justification, a very big theological word for some of you, and the idea is to break this down so that it's something that you understand, something that you can take home, something that you can apply to your daily life, your prayer life, your day-to-day activities. Next week we're going to talk about with Him. We're going to talk about sanctification, the process that God uses so that we can continually become holy in His presence so we can enjoy fellowship with Him. And we're going to land with like Him, glorification, the eternal destiny of mankind as we find ourselves in Christ Jesus, walking in holiness all throughout eternity. Today, we're going to continue on the holiness of God, moving into justification. God is holy. The greatest attribute of God, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. That is the characteristic of God that cannot be replicated by anybody. There's no one like Him. He's cut above the rest, infinitely pure, infinitely moral, infinitely wise, infinitely powerful, infinitely beautiful, which is one of the reasons why when you worship, when you understand the holiness of God, when you pray, when I find myself, I think the other night my wife and I were praying, we typically pray at night together. And I would take my phone and I would click 60 minutes and I'll put it down and I'll start to worship the Lord. I will just start to enter His holiness. It's a magnificent and amazing and in many ways a scary thing to walk into the presence of a holy God. The very idea that I'm standing before God and He can see right through all my facade, that He can see the way I'm thinking, that He can see all my sins, the way He can see that my thoughts. And as I enter into that place and begin to worship Him and realize what gives me this access, what allows me this ability to talk to Him and even petition my needs and my desires and my wants is all connected to this idea of holiness and walking in the presence of God. And what a privilege. Imagine if you knew that you had access to the president of the Philippines or the president of the United States, and you knew that despite the fact that there was no way that you could be found in the same room, yet there was access for you. The thought of that is really the in many ways, the way this idea of holiness and justification works. Justification is not just a legal term, but it is in many ways a legal term. To be justified, justice, the idea that there's a moral law, that there's something high and lofty and above all righteousness, that is something that you cannot reach, in which case you need to be justified. Our text this afternoon is Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This idea of have been justified. It's not something that we're still being justified, but we have been justified. In other words, it is something, it's justification. We're not justified by our works. We're not justified by the behavior that we do, by our tithes and offerings, by the amount of Bible reading or the amount of good things that we do. We are justified through faith. In other words, the only reason why we are made right or justified is because we have put our faith in this holy God. The only reason why I can walk into His presence is because I believe that in the midst of His holiness, His perfection, He has a holy, set-apart love for me that allows me to walk in His presence by faith. Nothing to do with me. And as a result of that, He says, we have peace with God. one of the benefits or the outcomes of the understanding of justification is your peace. It's sad to see many Christians who claim to be believers of Jesus, and yet you wake up in the morning and for some reason you don't have peace, and it's probably because you haven't really fully understand this concept or this truth of justification. And he says here, Paul says here, we've been justified through faith, and as a result of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Further, he says, through whom we have gained access, again, by faith. In other words, not by works, not by something I've done, I gain access. That's the second benefit of understanding that I've been justified. I, number one, have peace. Number two, I have access. And finally, by faith into this grace which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. By faith, we now have peace, we have access, and as a result of that access, we have hope. I can enter the presence of this holy God. I know I have peace with him because I have been justified, and because of that peace, I have access, and because of that access, I can be hopeful that the future is great and bright. Now, that is, in a summary, the benefits of being justified: peace, access, and hope. Now, the big question is really not that. The big question is, how do I experience that? I know that I've been justified, and I've heard the idea of justification, but now how does that really work? Verse 9 says, since we have now been justified by his blood, in other words, this idea of being justified or being made righteous. You have been made righteous. You were unrighteous. You didn't deserve to be there, but you were made righteous. Another way of saying made righteous is we were made right. You got that? Is that simple enough? You were made righteous, which means you were made right. You were wrong, now you're right. Let me explain. Some of you don't get it. This justification, made righteous, and now made right. How does that work? Let's take, for example, that you had a car and you failed to renew your license plate. And so it's expired. And you know that it's expired. You know that it's expired. And as you drive that car, at the back of your head, you know you are driving an unrighteous car. You're doing something not right. Got it? And as you drive, the more you go further into this car, you realize this is not right. There's fear. There's guilt. You know you shouldn't be driving an expired license, but you're doing it anyway. You're not right. You're not righteous. Is anybody following? And which case, when you see a policeman, you turn the corner and you start hiding. How many of you live your life this way? That's what it means to not be righteous or not to be made right. The only way that you can drive that car with freedom, fearlessly, joyfully, in peace, and have access to places where there are policemen is for you to make the license plate right. Until you don't make that right, you have no peace, you have guilt, you have no access, and you don't have hope because you know you're going to get caught one day. Got it? Is that simple enough? Some of you still don't get it. Now, let's say you renewed your license plate, but you did not renew your driver's license. So now you have a little bit of hope, a little bit of access, but deep down inside your heart, you know one day if somebody bumped you, if you went through a red light and you got busted, you are guilty. You have no fear because your license is expired. And unless you make that license right, you are going to get penalized. And if you commit a serious sin, you might actually go to jail. Do you understand the concept of being righteous, made right? In June of this year, I spoke at a conference in Indonesia, and I came back, and on my table was clean, and there was an envelope. And it was said urgent, open right now, and I opened the envelope, and it was a letter from a lawyer. And the lawyer basically said that it has come to my attention that there is a court case against you. And there is a warrant of arrest against you. And it might be to your interest to have this thing checked Because if they arrest you, they can throw you in jail. And the charge is that you're guilty of carnapping. So I was the official pastor carnapper. And so this certain Joey Bonifacio apparently sold this car that had been carnapped, and the address is the building of your church. Are you still here? In other words, I'm not guilty, but I'm not righteous. Are you here? I had to call our lawyers, and the lawyers came and said, please check that, and they checked it, and they found out I do have a warrant of arrest under the name of Joey Bonifacio and a pastor who holds office in this building. And in this country, if you're caught with carnapping and trying to escape, it's shoot to kill. Are you still here with me? Why'd you get quiet all of a sudden? And so the lawyer tells me, Pastor, get out of that building and hide. Because if they arrest you, you're going to go to jail. And tomorrow's Friday, and you're going to be there until Monday. Are you still with me? Why are you so quiet? This is a true story. In other words, the only way I can make that happen is to change that. I had to file bail. In fact, I had to call up Bishop Manny. I said, Bishop Manny, you've got to come to the fort. You've got to preach on Sunday, because I can't. Because the worst thing that can happen to Victory is if the senior pastor of Victory Fort gets arrested while he's preaching. That's not going to be funny. And so Bishop Manny had to come here on a Sunday, and I had to work a way to post bail. Because if I don't post bail and I leave for the country, if I get arrested in immigration, it looks like I'm running away. I've got to make right. And then my lawyers had to prove you've got the wrong guy. That's not him. That's not his name. That's his nickname. This is his real name. Every document of this man on his passport and his drive, everything that he's done is under his real name. And this is his real name. This is his birth certificate. In other words, finally they proved it and the case was dismissed and I was made right. Now I have no guilt, I have no fear, and I have no hiding because I was made right. Do you understand? The difference is we're dealing now with an earthly court of law. We're dealing with the highest of the highest of the highest of the most moral of universal laws. And we're facing not a judge, we're facing the King of the universe who's holy. And there's just no way to make it right. That the only way to make it right is for him to make it right for us. That's why we are justified not by a lawyer, not by bail, not by discussion, not by good works. Our good works, as you heard last week, is filthy rags. We are justified by the blood of his own son. In other words, he didn't send us a lawyer to bail us out. He sent us someone who took our place and paid for our sins so that we will be made right. And because we are made right and we put our faith in that act of Jesus, we can enter his presence with boldness, with thanksgiving. Not with arrogance, with boldness. Actually, with absolute humility. That God, I don't deserve to stand in front of you, but I can be bold in coming in because of what you did for me. You made things right. That's what it means to be justified. And the minute you're justified, it's as if nothing has happened. There is no guilt. There is no fear. There is no hiding. Now, justification does not end with just being made right. It says, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Justification leads us to being saved. In other words, we're not just made right, we're actually rescued. From what? From the coming wrath. There is a coming wrath. God is going to judge wickedness. Don't make a mistake about this. If you are living in wickedness or there are people, God's going to get them. I've got a prayer bowl in my house. It's called the Wicked Bowl. It's cards that are filled with verses on wickedness. And I pick that up Every now and then, I'll pick that up and pray. I'm praying for the wicked. God has prayers for the wicked. You should read the prayers of the wicked. If you're wicked, it's a scary thing when you start reading what God has to say about the wicked. It's a scary thing when you think about the wrath of the wicked. It's a scary thing when you start thinking about, and I'm praying because there is wickedness in our nation. And I go to God. I don't go to men. I go to God. God, you said you're going to kill the wicked. Hallelujah, you will. Are you here? I pray for the wicked. God is very serious about the wicked. Justification is not just that I've been justified and made right. I've been saved and rescued from the wrath of God. I have nothing to fear. I'm clean. Not because of anything I've done. Not because of my performance. Not because of my Bible reading. I'm made right because I put my faith in what God has done for me. I put my faith in this holy God. It's one thing to be saved and rescued from eternal wrath. There's another side of the thing that I need you to understand that you're being saved from when you're justified. And it's a prison. It's a daily prison that you and I live in. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you and I, if you do not understand justification and righteousness by faith, you are constantly living in this prison. On the one side of this prison is unrighteousness, that you're always constantly in fear because you know that you do things that are unrighteous. On the other side of it is self-righteousness, where you know you can't keep it up. And so on the one side, you have unrighteousness, so you're constantly in fear. You're constantly in guilt. You're constantly being accused. You can't enter the presence of a holy God because you know you're unrighteous. On the other side, in the other extreme, you've got self-righteousness, where you're trying, and at the same time, you're trying to perform and trying to make this happen, but you're just as much in jail because you know that your self-righteousness is not enough to make you enter the presence of this holy God. Unrighteousness produces fear. You know that wrath is coming. Self-righteousness produces pride. The more self-righteous you are, the more prideful, and you compare yourself with others. You know, I don't do what you do. I don't steal as much as you steal. I steal a little bit, but not as much as you do. I do a little bit of sin here and there, but I do pornography, but I don't commit adultery. In other words, we measure and try to make ourselves self-righteous, but at the end of the day, we still fail to meet the standards of a holy God. And as a result, when we have self-righteousness and pride, it's just a matter of time before we become fearful, knowing our self-righteousness is not measuring up. And if we are unrighteous and walking in fear, at some point we become prideful and stand up and say, I don't care what you think, I will be unrighteous. In which case, you're still in the same prison cell. You're still navigating on a daily basis and cannot ever enter the freedom and the access and the peace of a holy God because you never understood righteousness. Not self-righteousness, not unrighteousness, but the righteousness that sets you free because you realize you've been rescued. Rescued by God so that you can walk in peace because you know you have access. And as a result of that, I can have hope. I can believe for the best. I've been set free, made right, rescued by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? If because of His death we were made righteous, if because of His death we were rescued, how much more through His life we will not just be righteous and restored, we rescued, we are reconciled, the Bible says. The purpose of justification is not just to set you free. The purpose of reconciliation, of justification rather, is to reconcile you. Let me give you an example. If you were in jail, you've been justified, the jail doors have been open, If you don't get out of that jail, you'd be sitting in the jail even though the doors were open, because you didn't understand that the purpose of the jail door being open is so you can go home and be reconciled to the Father. The purpose of the freedom is not freedom. The purpose of the freedom is to be reconciled to the holiness of God. And he says, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life. It's probably not a picture of restored relationship. It's probably no story that captures the idea of being made right, being rescued, being restored in relationship than the story of the prodigal son. And you and I know the story. It was in February of 1984 when I sat in our little apartment, newly married young man, and I read Luke chapter 15. And this story, which I've heard for so many years as a little boy who thought that righteousness was by works, it was this story that made me born again. It was this story that I finally understood that I have been made right, that I'd been rescued, that I'd been reconciled to the Father. You know the story, and we'll walk quickly through it. When he came to his senses, he had lost everything. He had become a drug addict, if you may, a drunk, carousing with women, bankrupt. And he says, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. The way you are made right, there's nothing to justify if you don't know that you're dying. There's nothing to justify and rescue you from if you're self-righteous and you think that you're perfect and that you're so good. Then there's nothing to rescue you from, and there's nothing to restore you from. This guy knew, I'm dying here. It's over. The more you realize that, the more you're going to value justification. I'll set up and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I sinned against heaven. Father, I've sinned against your holy kingdom. I've sinned against your office. I've sinned against your righteousness. I sinned against your moral law. I've sinned against your standards. But more than that, I've sinned against you, the relationship with you. The justification is not just making myself right. It's because I'm missing you. I'm losing my connection with you. And he goes on and says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm not. If you get this, you're going to love to pray. I love to pray because I love the whole idea that I'm so unworthy, and yet every time I walk in there, this God looks at me and says, ang cute mo. I get it. That's all it is. I get it, God. I know I don't deserve it. I know I'm a fool. I know I'm nasty. I know I'm dirty. And many times I'm probably crazy. But thanks be to you. You made me right. Like one of your hired servants. I don't deserve this. Why should I be a son? Treat me like one of your boys. He goes on to say, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, this is the heart of the father. That he wasn't just passively waiting for people to repent. He was actually looking out there and was looking out into the distance. Who's coming home? Oh, gosh. If you'll understand this one bit of truth, that when you get up in the morning or when you go home at night and you say, the first thing I'm going to do is not watch the NBA, not watch the PBA, not watch the news. The first thing I'm going to do is click that phone and, woo! In the presence of a holy God, I have been made right. That secretary I screamed at today, you have made it right. The mistakes I made, you have made it right. I repent, but you've made it right. He says, but while he was still a long way, he saw him and was filled with compassion. And the Bible says he ran to his son. You know, God runs. There's not very many verses in the Bible that says God runs. Most of the verses in the Bible says God walks. God walked with Adam. God walked with Enoch. God walks, but in this particular instance, he got so excited. It excites God when he knows that someone finally gets it. And he kissed him. Son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against your moral laws. I know you're perfect. I know you're holy. I'm undeserving and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, this is what you need to understand about justification. The father didn't say, come back next week. I don't like your t-shirt. Come back next month when you've finally taken a bath. Come back in a year when you've cleaned your nails. He said, quick, right now, restore this boy. I'm justifying him. I'm restoring him. Bring the best robe. Put it on him. Robes are always about righteousness. Make him right. Let him know he's welcome. Not only that, put a ring on his finger and put sandals on his feet. Give him access. Let him have peace. Let him eat everything he can eat. The prodigal son is a very good picture of justification, but there's probably not a better picture than this one. It's the thief on the cross who was justified on the spot for doing nothing, for not even have time to restore it, but simply putting his faith in what Jesus did for him. And Jesus said, today, not next week, next month, today, you will be with me in paradise. Verse 25, meanwhile, this is the big meanwhile, you've got the unrighteous guy who finally gets the whole idea of justification. And now he's inside the house wearing his robe of righteousness, wearing the ring of the sun, wearing the shoes of an heir, and he's sitting there eating the food, listening to the music, and he's enjoying all that sound and he's enjoying, and all of a sudden this guy comes out. Meanwhile, the self-righteous older son gets back. And he's come from the field. He was a volunteer, amen. If you're a volunteer here, I love you. But your righteousness and your value does not come from your volunteering. Hello? Your righteousness comes from Jesus. If you're a small group leader, I hope that you're not just in the field. You understand why you're doing what you do. Meanwhile, the older son came. When he came near the house, he heard the music. And he heard he hated it. Some of you, when you were listening to that, why did they play it in worship like that? I don't like that. It's not solemn. Can't raise my hands. That's beneath me. I mean, why do you don't understand how awesome the Holy God is. You raise your hand to Bono and you two? That's it? Hello? Who do you raise your hands to? To Gilas? I love Gilas. Raise your hand all as much as you want, but if you're going to raise your hand for Gilas, you better raise your hand for a holy God. Ouch. Let's not go there. Are you still with me? Something excites you when you understand justification and the reality of the implication of this. Older son heard the music and the dancing. He didn't like that. Why are you guys dancing? So he called one of the servants and asked, what's going on? Your brother has come, he replied. And your father killed the fattened calf, the choice stock, because he's been home back safe and sound. That's good news. Phenomenal. The sinner came to church. Went to your small group. The older brother became angry. Why did he have to come home? He refused to go in. sometimes with self-righteous people, they, you know, I've been here for 30 years, radical. Yeah, you look like you've been here for 30 years. You look like you're not happy. Justified by faith, not by works. When you grow up with a works religion, you kind of think that you earned this thing. And you compare yourself with another guy, and then after comparing yourself, you see somebody who's bigger than you and better than you, and you realize you can't measure up, you're back to fear. And then you do some great stuff, and you're back to self-righteousness and pride, and you're just going back and forth and back and forth, and you're tired all your life because you're still in prison. Never been rescued and made righteous by the blood of Jesus. The father went out and pleaded with him, saying, that's not the way to go, son. Come over here. It's about relationship. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. He's just as much a slave. The unrighteous, fearful, sinful son, a slave. The self-righteous, prideful son, just as much a slave by his own confession. In fact, he forgot to say, father, look, all these years, I've been here so long. I've been slaving for you. And I never disobeyed you. That's self-righteousness. I never, you know, I'm perfect. Yet you never even gave me a go. This is pathetic. Of all things, you know, I never disobeyed you and I can't even dance. In fact, now I'm 40 years old. I don't even know how to dance. Can't even celebrate with my friends. Never got the understanding of righteousness. But when this son of yours, still not calling him a father, can't even call his brother, brother, this son of yours, unreconciled, who has squandered accusation, he's wasted all your wealth, he's wasted all the time, he's gone to prostitutes, comes home, you kill Jesus for him, the best of your calf. And me, I don't even have a kambing. This is where we are when we're trapped by this. And there is the father. My son, the father said, you've always with me. Gosh, you know, I'm glad I'm not God. Because if I were God, I'm going to take, come over here. Are you stupid? All I have is yours. Don't you get it? All I have is yours. But we had to celebrate. We had to be glad because this brother of yours, son, relationship, was dead and is alive. It's not religion, buddy. It's not performance. It's relationship. And now he's lost and now he's found. He's justified. And you know why we can't justify others? Because sometimes we don't feel justified ourselves. We still have to work. We still have to perform. We still have to earn it. I haven't been made right. I haven't been rescued from self-righteousness and unrighteousness. I haven't been restored in a relationship with the Father. There's a good picture of this pregnancy testing contraption where parents try to see if they are pregnant or not. And usually before you can go to a doctor, you can test it at home. And what typically happens is when a couple has a child or they miss their period, they start thinking, maybe we're pregnant, and they test it, and all of a sudden it says pregnant. The signs, and they're jumping up and down. Whoa, we're pregnant. How many of you have ever experienced that?
It's like when you hear the gospel, I'm justified. We're pregnant. Are we really pregnant? We've got to go ask a doctor and just make sure it's real. We're not really sure. We thought somebody told us, but I've got to double check this. I've got to go and check if the doctor is really knows that I'm really pregnant, or is it really pregnancy, or is it, what's going on? And I've got to check this. And you know what? That's where some of you are today. You're not sure about your righteousness, because a portion of that is unrighteousness that you're dabbling in. And some of that is self-righteousness that I've got to earn it, rather than a righteousness that says that by faith, this holy God made me righteous by giving me His one and only Son, and in that I put my faith and nothing else. And as a result of that, I am made right. There's the prodigal son eating that food and chomping and says and dancing with the woo and with the band. And the Bible says they were celebrating and dancing, and the old brother was outside in the window. He's looking at the window and I wonder if there was 1 minute. I wonder where that sinful brother looked out and said, what's bothering him? Is he mad at me? What did I do? And there was the father trying to get him to understand his righteousness issue. I pray that today you'll walk out of here knowing you were made right by Jesus, that you were rescued from the prison of unrighteousness and self-righteousness, that you don't have to be accused, and that you were not just rescued, that you were reconciled into a relationship, in which case you have peace, in which case you have access, in which case you have the fullness of all that God has to offer, and you have hope in Jesus Christ. God uses justification to set us apart so that we can enter His holiness, the one who is set apart. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close in the word of prayer? And as you stand, would you just bow your heads, close your eyes, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you? There's some of you here, it's very clear, and the Holy Spirit is pointing out an area of unrighteousness. And God wants to justify you. God wants you to come clean, just like the prodigal son, and acknowledge, God, I'm a sinner, and this is over. I'm not living this way anymore. And I'm repenting. I'm turning around. Look up here for a minute. The prodigal son went home. He didn't just say, I'm sorry, I repent. Dad, forgive me. No. I'm sorry. I'm going home. Dad, I'm sorry. Such a... sorry. I don't deserve this. I really don't, and I'm not taking this lightly. I'm acknowledging I'm sorry. I'm an ungodly man. I'm selfish, God. Sorry. That's what he did. You're holy. You're pure. You're awesome. Why would you even talk to me? Why would you even send me your Holy Spirit? Make me right. There's some of you, that's the issue. There's some of you, this is the issue. There's some of you, you have both issues. You're just going from there to there, and this is the day where God, the Holy Spirit, just wants you to understand you have been justified. You've been made right. You've been rescued. You've been restored into relationship. You're free. Amen? Just close your eyes for a little bit. If you're here today and you're saying, God, I'm that prodigal son. I am that prodigal son. Just let the Holy Spirit convict you and just lift up your hands before heaven. He's here. This is His house. Just lift it up. There's a few more of you. God, that's me. Taking shortcuts, just doing the unrighteous thing. And that lifting of your hands is just an act of faith, an act of confession. It's just like,
acknowledging God. You can put your hands down. There's some of you, it's self-righteousness. It's actually, in our context, it's probably more shameful. But this is not the day to be prideful. This is the day to say, God, I do have a tendency. And some of you, you have unrighteousness and self-righteousness. Just lift it up before Him. God, I don't want to walk in self-righteousness. I can't do this. I cannot do this. Can't do it. Father, I pray that you set me free to be righteous, to be made right, to be rescued, to be restored and reconciled in a relationship with you. Father, I receive this by faith in the name of Jesus. And Father, even next week, Lord, I realize that I've got to be sanctified. But before that, God, I trust that you have justified me by faith. And I trust that you've rescued me and saved me by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Walk in the righteousness of God.